Blog Talk Radio.
My mom wasn't able to do that. She wasn't able to speak. I had to
look at her eyes to have conversation with her. So it was a very difficult time, even though I was very happy that she was there to enjoy those important moments with me. A part of me was sad because I didn't have her to verbally guide me. I didn't have her to say, okay, this is your big day, Terry, you know, this is your big day, and I want to tell you this, I want to tell you that. But I had to go on what I had in my mind, in my memory, as to what she said to me when she was raising me. And I had to go by the things that she had taught me and all the little things that she told me to do when I was young. And I had to reach down deep inside to pull up those things and say, hey, I know what Mom would say. I know what Mom would do in a situation like this. But it gets hard. And as I go through life and I talk to different family members, because we've lost a lot of mothers in my family, a lot of my nieces and nephews have lost their moms. You know, my mom's siblings are no longer here, so I have none of my mother's sisters to call on. You know, if you had an aunt, maybe that would help, but I don't have that either. So that mother figure is no longer in my life. And it's been that way for a while now. And it's kind of difficult at times when you're trying to make decisions that some others just don't understand. Maybe your sibling or your cousins or your friends, they don't really understand. You need that connection with that umbilical cord, you know, with that birth, with that whole being inside the womb. You need that experience. And it's very, very difficult. So I wanted to do a show tonight about people who don't have their mothers, because I really don't think the media or the, I would just say the media doesn't really talk about this. People don't really talk about this. You know, Mother's Day comes and you see people really are depressed. They don't really say anything about celebrating it because they don't have a mother, you know, and I don't celebrate that day, you know. I wish people Happy Mother's Day, but I really don't celebrate it, and people say Happy Mother's Day to me even though I'm not a mother. And it's very interesting on that day when you watch people and how they celebrate it. But it's a very difficult thing to celebrate once you lose your mother. So I really wanted to give this episode to the people out there who, for some reason, don't have their mothers anymore, or the ones that have their mothers, but they're not the same. Like when my mom got sick, people didn't understand when I said, well, my mom, she's not my mom. She's not that lady that raised me. She's someone else right now, and people are saying, at least you have her. And yes, part of that is true, but I did not have this lady that had been in my life since my birth. I had this other person that I had to learn how to love, this whole new being that I had to learn how to communicate with, because she could not communicate, she could not do for herself, she could not be that parental person that was needed. So I said the lady that raised me was no longer there. My mom was there, but the mother that raised me had been long gone. So I got through the rest of these years in my life, these trying years, without her being able to speak to me the different things that I needed to be said. And here I am once again going through different moments in my life where you really, really want to pick up that phone and call that person and say, hey, Mom, what about this? Or remember when you told me this, Mom? You know, what about that? And you really, you can't do that, and it's very difficult. And when you listen to the song that I chose by The Intruders, it's very important to listen to the lyrics as they talk about the experiences that they had with their mom, and how their mother taught them little things to say, like, hello and thank you, please. And I remember that. I remember every step of the way, she taught me always say hello. Never speak unless you're spoken to. You know, don't jump into grown folks' conversation, as she would say. And always be very polite. Always say excuse me. Always say thank you. Don't ever take anything from anybody. When they offer you food, you don't take it. You say no thank you. And that was her biggest pet peeve. And people to this day, you know, wonder sometimes when they're offering me something, I'll just say no, just right off the bat, not even thinking. Because that's what she taught me. She taught me, you know, you don't want to take anything from anyone because you want to be as independent as you possibly can. And then the little things that she used to say, and I'm like, wow. Now that I'm, you know, reading the Bible for myself, I see these little sayings, and they're like, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. She used to say those things, and I was like, where is she getting that from? What does she mean by that? Because when you have siblings and you're arguing about, well, who's going to do this first and who's going to do that first, and she would always say, when we're arguing about, well, you did this first, well, it's my turn to be first. She would always tell us, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And other little things that she would tell me. Very, very important. And now as I go through life and I'm hearing these words and I'm hearing her say this to me, I really want to be able to communicate to her and say, hey, Mom, you know, that's why you said that. That's why you said that. So these are very trying times for people who don't have their mothers. And I appreciate the time that I have with her. And so I challenge those out there who still have their moms and are still able to communicate and talk with them, please do so. Please take advantage of this moment, because not everybody has these moments. So as I do every week, I'm going to give you some little figures to build with your truth, because I've just given you my truth. So now I'm going to give you what the census tells me. In this country, there's 43.5 million mothers between the ages of 15 and 50 who have children. And these 43.5 million women, mothers, gave birth to 95.8 million children. And this 3.9 was in the last 12 months. And this was from the census, I believe, for 2013. And so the percentage of women between ages of 15 and 50 who gave birth in the past 12 months and who were unmarried was 36%. So that's not bad. You hear about them saying there's a lot of single moms out there, but actually, when you consider 36% were not married, that's less than half. Plus, we're not talking about the women who have men in their lives, but they're just not legally married. But the worrying that we must look at is the fact that between 1990 and 2013, the maternal mortality rate surged at 136% here in this country. Women are dying, you know, during birth and shortly after giving birth. And we can't seem to figure out what the problem is. So that's an alarming situation, because that increases this topic as to where have some of the mothers gone. And these children need their mothers. You know, a mother is a very important key in a person's life. It's very important that we don't overlook this. You know, they have research, and a lot of the times the research doesn't really look at the young adults who lost their mom. But this is very important. You know, I know people, family members, who lost their mother at a young age. And this is a very serious time. The mother-daughter bond is an important one. And when a person loses that and loses their mother at a young age, it can cause problems when they become older, when they become young adults. People think that adults don't really need maternal guidance, but we do. Once you develop that relationship with that mother-daughter, it's there. It's supposed to be there for life, and you do need that mother, and as I just spoke about, and all the important things that you go through in life, when the woman, the daughter, gets ready to get married, when the daughter gets ready to have her first child, the mother being there is very, very important. So losing a mom has a powerful effect on a young adult daughter. Sometimes it can mess with that daughter's sense of identity. They don't know what being a woman is all about. And it's true. As you grow into that woman and you begin to change, your body begins to change, your mind begins to change, you go through your 20s, you go through your 30s, you go through your 40s. I remember the last serious conversations that I was able to have with my mom. I was in my 20s, and she would tell me things. You know, she would tell me about my metabolism and how eventually it was going to slow down. And she would explain to me different things about who I was as a person, who I was as a woman, and who I was becoming. And that was important because I was in my 20s, but I was like on fire. You know, I was busy doing me, living life, and I was really, you know, diligent about what I wanted to do, moving to different states and just being Terry. And so I heard things that she was saying, but, you know, I really wasn't really taking them and putting them in a special place like I should have. And then when I got to 30, you know, she could no longer talk. So I couldn't communicate with her. And my grandmother was gone. And then my aunts were sickly, so I couldn't really talk to this person who had carried me in their womb, who had nurtured me, who had spoke with me when I couldn't even speak, who had stroked my back and my head when I needed some comfort, who had wiped away my tears, you know, who had cleansed my body when I was not able to. This person that knew me inside and out. But in my 20s, I didn't really think about that. I'm like, oh, she doesn't know what I'm going through. She doesn't understand me. This is the things that you think. But when you get a little wiser and you begin to know that, hey, this person knows you better than you probably know yourself. So when I got to that age where I was wiser and I wanted to know more about me from this person's point of view, I wanted to accept her point of view. I wanted to accept her criticism. It was no longer available for me. And yes, I had older siblings, and yes, I would talk to them, but it was not the same. Nothing is the same as this person who carries you in their womb, who speaks with you before you're even able to speak words. These things are very important. This relationship is very important. And it causes, when you don't have this mother in your life anymore, it causes a lot of different things, like a lot of people who are motherless themselves, motherless daughters, they become insecure with being mothers themselves because they're looking for their mother's advice and their support and her reassurance. Their cultural identity is affected as well. So they don't really maybe understand why they do the things they do. So it's hard, you know, when we don't have that person anymore. See, moms are important because they form that foundation of the family. My mother was the foundation of our family. They take care of everyone and they keep the family together. And when there's conflict, the mom is the mediator. So when your mother passes away, the family, it kind of falls apart. And that is so true in most cases. You know, when my mom passed away, we were all adults, but you can tell things are different now. They're not the same because mom's not there. So we may not have to do this because mom's not there. We may not have to get together on that day because mom's not there. So it's difficult to regain your family stability. And then some daughters, you know, they assume their mother's role, or they try to. And by doing so, they're not grieving themselves. They set aside their grief so that they can carry on the mother's role. And I've seen some of my sisters do this. So it's a very trying time, and it's a very difficult thing to deal with. And people really don't understand this, and I really wanted to stress this, to tell people, you know, what they should do and how they should handle the situation. Now, there are some things that you can do for motherless daughters. And then they have organizations called the Motherless Daughters that meet throughout the country. There's not a lot of them out there, but if you Google this, Motherless Daughters, you'll see that they meet and they discuss things, and they have different events that they partake in to help each other cope with not having this mother. Now, some things you can do, you can carry on your mom's tradition. You know, I had some siblings, they could cook just like my mom. And we look forward to that because that carried on her tradition and different things she would do. You know, instead of focusing on your loss, you know, incorporate the traditions that you grew up with into your life. It's very important. You can teach your kids about what their grandmother was like and the things that she said. The other things they suggest that you do is create a collage. You know, they say a collage is a tangible tool for retaining your connection with your mom. And that's very true. You know, we had a very extensive obituary that we created for my mom, and it's like a collage, it's like a book. And from time to time, I look at it, and it has pictures of all her offspring, all the way to her great-great-grandchildren. And it's very important that you hold on to these memories and keep those connections. Also, you can make a financial contribution to any of the organizations that you may feel represent your mom. If your mom passed from Alzheimer's or difficulties with heart or stroke or cancer, then you can contribute to that society, you know, on a yearly contribution. That way you're keeping the situation going as far as being able to support the cause, and maybe it'll help someone else from having to deal with these diseases, or it may help other people handle the disease better. Then they say accept your different identity. Sometimes when your mother passes, it changes your identity. But you have to know that it's okay if you're different. It's okay to explore different things without your mom's approval. Like I said, my mom was sickly by the time I was in my 20s. So when I got to my 30s and 40s, life was different for me. I was looking at life totally different. But I was used to going to my mom and her saying, okay, Terry, this is what's going on. This is what you do. But she wasn't there to give me that. She wasn't there to tell me this is what this is all about. But you have to understand that you take what she taught you, and you take it and you give it to God in prayer, and he will guide you, and he will let you know that you're on the right track. That your mother taught you well. You know, you hear some people, they'll meet you, or you'll meet someone, you'll tell them, oh wow, your mother raised you well, or your parents raised you well. You know, and I hear that sometimes. And some people say they've never met my mom, but when they meet me, they get a gist of what she must have been like. And that really, you know, it really warms my heart, you know, when they tell me that. Because I know that she was a great mom, and she was a great grandmother, you know, and her grandchildren got together, and they wrote what was on her tombstone, an undeniable legend. You know, this is the way they saw this lady. She was undeniable, and she left a legacy. And she loved her family. She loved her children and her grandchildren. So it's okay if you grow and your identity grows into this other person that, you know, my mom didn't see. But it's okay. Or she didn't know, or she couldn't comment on, because she knew that I was going to grow. Mothers know that their daughters are going to be different in their 20s, 30s, and 40s because they've been through the experience. And I'm trying to tell my nieces at the same time. enjoy the 20s, enjoy the 30s, enjoy the 40s, because you're growing, and you're growing into a different person in each stage of your life. It is a different thing. You're going through different times. And they try to tell you your 30s is the best time of your life. No, your 40s is the best time. No, your 50s is the best time. But don't worry about that. Just sit back and enjoy each phase of your life, because you're going to grow. You're going to evolve. And they also say you must, you know, participate in support groups. A lot of motherless daughters feel like they don't fit in and can't relate to their peers. And I've had this when I was younger. You know, my friends I told you about who didn't have their mothers, when we would talk about things, they would tell me, you don't understand, you don't understand. And even to this day when we talk about things, they say, I don't understand, because their mother died at such a young age when they were younger. So there's some things I cannot relate to when they talk about things, because they did not have their mother throughout most of their childhood. So you need to get into support groups who understand you, who can relate to you. Like right now, people don't understand. Some people don't understand why I don't celebrate Mother's Day. They don't understand. You know, I have relatives that when the anniversary comes around of the death of their mom and my mother, it's a difficult thing. What do you say? You know, we place flowers on the gravesite, we visit, but what do you say? You know, I thank God for our minds and our memories, because with that you can have joy. You can think about the good times. I try to remember my mom's voice. I try to remember what it sounded like, because for whatever reason, we don't have a lot of video footage with her voice on it. And I try to remember, how did she call my name? You know, how did she pronounce it? You know, and these are the things that I think about, and I try to hear it in the back of my head. I try to remember her smell. You know, especially the smell before she got sick. You know, I try to remember how she spoke before she got sick, because, as I said, she became a totally different person when she got sick. So it's different. Then it says find a maternal figure. You know, for instance, they said you may want to become close to one of your mom's friends, someone who is very similar to your mom, because you may learn more about your mom. Unfortunately for me, my mom's friends, I don't believe they're no longer around. But I do recall I was at my aunt's funeral some years back, and there was a lady that came to me, and she knew my mom and my aunt when they were young. And the first thing I wanted to ask her, what was she like? You know, what was she like at 16 and 17? You know, because I didn't know my mom at that age, but I wanted to know. And this lady told me, you know, she was quiet. And I was like, wow, I was just... So the lady didn't understand what she had done for me by explaining to me what my mom was like as a young teenager. I was just so happy. And then it says you can seek individual therapy. You know, family therapy or individual therapy for your grieving. Because this is something that's not easy, and most people take it for granted. They don't really understand it. So I challenge you out there, who, if you know anybody out there who do not have a mother or their mother is sickly, please, you know, take the time to support them and tell them about the motherless daughters meetups, because they're all across the country, or they can form one themselves. It's called Motherless Daughters Meetup. So hopefully you guys have received some truths out of this. It was not a happy... It was a painful truth, but we must face these truths, because without the truth, we cannot begin to heal. And we want to heal, and we want to keep our healing based on the truth. So I challenge you out, stay true, and be blessed, as I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And until then, stay true and be blessed. Thank you.